Today on Hardwired.
Satan himself can come to you like an angel of light. He doesn't come with a red suit and a tail, pitchfork, horns, and say, I'm here to deceive you. No, he comes in the guise of someone very attractive, very appealing, very persuasive, very knowledgeable, very eloquent, and that looks like and appears to be somebody that's really, really got it going on in the things of God.
Welcome to Hardwired with Pastor Jeff Wickwire. Whether you find yourself in a good place, maybe in a difficult place, or possibly even in a very lonely place, let me encourage you that you've come to the right place. Now, if you're not able to stick around with us for all of today's program, you can always listen to it at our website, hardwired.org. You may have been listening to the program for a while, or possibly just tuned in. Well, I want you to know that we do this for you. With a world that is searching and coming up empty, it's nice to know you can land on this message of hope and truth, something we all need to hear. So let's jump right in with today's program. Here's Pastor Jeff to tell us what's coming up in today's edition of Hardwired.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to this edition of Hardwired. When asked what the signs of his return would be, Jesus immediately warned of false prophets. Paul the Apostle took it further and described false prophets as angels of light. They would be so convincing, Paul said, that many would believe they were from God. There is little doubt that we have witnessed an explosion of false prophets worldwide in our day. How do you recognize a false prophet? What are the red flags to watch for? I can't wait to share part two of this very important message, Angels of Light.
Now, today I'm going to just start a real brief two-week series on prophecy, and prophets. And what I want to do today is just lay a little foundation. I'm going to lay a foundation on just what the Bible teaches. It's an overview. I mean, I could spend a year on this, well, at least 6 months. But just because of time, I'm going to give you an overview. So you have a basic understanding of what the Bible says about prophecy. How many of you know that prophecy is real? How many of you know the Bible is a book of prophecy? I mean, it's full of it. So today, that's what we're going to look at. But I'm calling this Angels of Light because I'm first going to just go over some things that are warned about false prophets. And then I'm going to go into the real thing. And next week, I'm going to devote exclusively on how to spot a false prophet and how to respond. Jesus said, beware of false prophets who come disguised. Everybody say disguised. As harmless sheep, but they're really vicious wolves. They're disguised. They know who they are, but they don't want you to know who they are. Now, these kinds of warnings against false teachers and false prophets infiltrating the church of Jesus Christ are found all through the New Testament. Because you see, that's Jesus' warning to us. These aren't just secular false prophets out there, you know, on some secular talk show prophesying or teaching false, misleading things. These are false prophets. Why would they disguise themselves as a sheep when actually they're a wolf? Because they're coming in among sheep. Paul also warned the Corinthian church of the same danger. Listen to what he said in 2 Corinthians 11:13, for such are false apostles. So there's real apostles and there's false ones. Deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. There's the disguise again. And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of what? Light. Satan himself can come to you like an angel of light. He doesn't come with a red suit and a tail, pitchfork, horns, and say, I'm here to deceive you. No, he comes in the guise of someone very attractive, very appealing, very persuasive, very knowledgeable, very eloquent, and that looks like and appears to be somebody that's really, really got it going on in the things of God. But when you listen to what they teach or what they prophesy, it doesn't line up with the Word of God. And that's where you and I have got to know the Bible better than we know any book on earth. And I'm telling you, if there was ever a day we need to know our Bible, hold it close, hug it tight, read it more than we've ever read it before, it is now. Now. So listen to verse 15. Therefore, it's no great thing if his ministers, look what he calls them, his ministers. Whose ministers? Satan's. Transform themselves into ministers of righteousness. Pastor so-and-so and pastor so-and-so and a preacher so-and-so. Ministers of righteousness, but they've been transformed. That's not really who they are. Now, then we find Paul prophetically warning his son in the faith, Timothy, who became a pastor and pastor of the church at Ephesus. He warned Timothy about false prophets in the last days. Listen to what he says, 2 Timothy 3:1. You may as well know this too, Timothy, that in the last days, it's going to be very difficult to be a Christian. Everybody say amen. He then tells Timothy that one of the things that'll make it so difficult is the infiltration of false prophets and teachers into the church. Listen to what he says. Paul says, these false prophets and teachers will work their way into people's homes. The word work there is worm, slither their way into people's homes. How do false teachers and prophets get into our homes these days? That square box that all your furniture faces, right? That's how they get in. Now, and watch this now. And they will win the confidence of vulnerable women who are burdened with the guilt of sin and controlled by various desires. Such women are forever following new teachings, new revelations. And that's the way false Christs and false prophets and false teachers always come over. I've got a revelation that's never been delivered to the body of Christ before. I've got a brand new revelation. Can I tell you something radical? If it's new, it's not true. You say, well, come on, Jeff, you can get a new revelation. No, you might get a better understanding of what's already written. But there's nothing you can do to add to the Word of God. You don't have a new revelation that's not in the Word of God. Can I say that again? You do not have a new revelation that's not in the Word of God. No, because if it's new and it's not in the Word of God, it's not true. If it's new, it's not true. I've listened to these false Christs and false prophets. I know what they teach. They teach things and I'm sitting there going, huh? Where did you get that? Because that's not in my Bible. Well, if it's new, it's not true. But that's the way false Christs and false prophets always come over. I'm a man of revelation. I'm a man that gets things, that gets downloads from God that nobody has ever gotten. So I'm going to give you a new revelation. As soon as you hear the word new, if they're talking about something that's not in the Bible, hit the back door, look for the nearest exit sign and leave. Because listen, we have 66 books of the Word of God. And any message I bring to you, it's from that. It's from what is already written. Y'all are real quiet. Real quiet. I'm being real honest with you. I may lose some people over this, but I don't think I will. I'll probably gain some. Because we so much need to hear the Word of God as it is these days. Now look what he says. These women, and notice how the devil went for the woman, not the man, just like he did in the Garden of Eden. He went for her and not him. And so these women are open to new teachings, but they are never able to understand the truth. These teachers oppose the truth. They have depraved minds and a counterfeit faith. And again, Paul comes later and warns Timothy. Now, the Holy Spirit tells us clearly that in the last times, in the last days, at the end of the age, some will turn away from the true faith. They will follow deceptive spirits and teachings that come from demons. Now, how do you get taught something that is coming from a demon? A demon doesn't just come up to you, woo, here, let me tell you something. No, they use a person. And so Paul is saying they will follow deceptive spirits and teachings that come from demons that are inhabiting false teachers and false prophets. And who brings these teachings from demons? It's the false teachers and it's the false prophets. So let me sum it up. False prophets and false teachers will. Listen carefully, everybody. Catch this. Here's what they do. They will seek to infiltrate the church. They come disguised as genuine ministers, even angels of light. They teach false doctrine and prophesy false things. They will be convincing, and unfortunately, in many cases, they will be successful. I'm not just talking about Mormons. I'm not just talking about Jehovah's Witnesses. I'm talking about false teachers and prophets that have infiltrated the mainstream church and are teaching things that are not true. Now, let me take you back and establish the word prophet. Where did it begin? The first prophet found in the whole Bible was Abraham. In Genesis 20, verse 7, God warned King Abimelech after he had taken Sarah, Abraham's wife, into his own house. We're told that Sarah was a looker. Sarah was a pretty woman, and Abraham knew it. And he said, "You're so pretty. If we go into a city that is pagan and they see you, they're going to kill me to get you. So I'm asking you to tell a little white lie, sister. And you tell them that you're my sister." Well, Sarah gave all that to God, Peter tells us. She gave it to God. Well, sure enough, they went into a city. They saw Sarah. They inquired about her, and King Abimelech wanted to bring her into his own house. He wanted to eventually have relations with her. But as soon as he got her into the house, they began to be covered with plagues. And he knew something was wrong. And God told him, God warned King Abimelech after he had taken Sarah. Listen to what he said. "Now, therefore, restore that man's wife, for he is a prophet." There's the first time the word is found, prophet. "And he will pray for you, and you will live." In other words, I'm about to kill you if you don't get rid of that woman. Well, he got rid of her quick, and you ought to read how it all went down between him and Abraham. "You lied to me. You told me a story. It almost got me killed. We've been covered with plagues," and they had a moment there. And Abraham repented, but he did it again later. Isn't it comforting to know the father of our faith had a lying problem? Yeah, he lied. He lied to save his own skin. He was willing to let his wife be taken into a foreign king's palace and whatever to save his own skin. And isn't it comforting to know that God turned him into the father of our faith? Can we give the Lord a hand of praise for that? Amen. Now you jump down a few hundred years later and we find Moses. And the Bible also calls Moses a prophet. As a matter of fact, it says he was a great prophet. Deuteronomy 34:10, "There has never again been a prophet in Israel like Moses." Now with Abraham and Moses both, prophet simply meant spokesman. That's all. And we also see that these two men had a ministry of standing in the gap for others. So the word prophet meant spokesman and one who stands in the gap. Abraham stood in the gap for Lot and his family when the fire was about to fall on Sodom and Gomorrah. And Moses stood in the gap for the people of God going through the wilderness all the time. And they were spared the wrath of God because Moses prayed. So it meant spokesman speaking on behalf of God was a prophet, speaking on behalf of God and standing in the gap between God and others and praying for them.
Before Pastor Jeff comes back to wrap things up for us today, I'd like to share a couple of important things with you. Let me encourage you to take a minute and check out our website, hardwired.org. You'll find today's program along with all of Pastor Jeff's messages. There's a growing list of great things to check out at the site. So hop on over and check it out, hardwired.org. That's hardwired.org. And be sure to tell your friends about the program. We know you're being blessed by it. I'm sure your friends will be as well. We're here to reach as many people for the Lord as we can. So getting the word out will help us on this mission. And that's what this program is all about. And Pastor Jeff's back now for the conclusion of today's program.
Then as Old Testament scripture unfolds, we find God raising up full-time, major prophets. There were four major prophets and 12 minor prophets. Major prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel. The minor prophets I won't list, but you can look them up. But there were 12 in all. So the Bible gives us in the Old Testament 16 major prophets. Now we call the 12 minor prophets, but they're only minor because the books they wrote were smaller. Had nothing to do with the quality of their prophecy. Hosea was just as much a prophet as Isaiah. He just wrote a smaller book, and so they're called minor prophets. That's all. So you had 16 prophets God raised up. And these Old Testament prophets are mentioned in Hebrews 1, verses 1 and 2. God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the who, everybody? I heard five of you go, prophet. Come on, spoke to the people, how? By the prophets. That's how he spoke to them. He spoke to the people by the prophets. The prophets would stand up and they would say, "Thus saith the Lord." And they would deliver the word of God. But he goes on to say, God has in these last days spoken to us by his Son. You remember on the Mount of Transfiguration, there was Elijah and there was Moses. Moses representing the law, Elijah representing the prophets. And what did God say to the disciples? He said, "Hear him," pointing to Jesus. In other words, Jesus is the one to listen to now. You had the prophets and you had Moses, but now in these last days, it's Jesus. He's the man. He's the one. He's the spokesman. Listen to him. The Old Testament prophets warn God's people almost invariably who were straying away from God. You look at the ministry of Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, the bulk of their prophecies were warnings to the people who were straying away from God. And the prophets were raised up to call them back to God, to call them to repentance before judgment fell upon them. Jeremiah began preaching to Judah when he was a young man, and Judah didn't listen, and Judah was taken into captivity when Jeremiah was an old man. They never listened to him all those decades. But God not only warned God's people, they also delivered to Israel and to the world, to us, the inerrant, unfailing, perfect word of God. That Old Testament is the perfect word of God. I want you to say it with me. The Old Testament is the perfect word of God. All right? The prophets were used by God to give us the perfect inerrant word of God in the Old Testament times. Paul says this about their writings: every scripture is inspired by God and is useful for teaching, for showing mistakes, for correcting, and for training character. Now you gotta keep in mind, when Paul wrote that, most of the New Testament had not been written. So what was he talking about? He was pointing back to the Old Testament and saying every scripture. Now also there were parts of the New Testament, but mainly he was looking back to the Old Testament, saying every scripture found there is inspired by God and it's useful for teaching, for showing mistakes, for correcting and training you in character. Thank God for the Word of God. Thank God for the Word of God. Now, the way they were inspired, these men, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, Habakkuk, you name it, how did they receive the Word of God? Peter tells us in 2 Peter 1:21, for prophecy never had its origin in the human will, but prophets, though human, spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. You ever seen a little sailboat out on a lake? It'll sit there until you hoist the sail. And when you hoist the sail, a breeze grabs that sail and carries that boat along. That's how these prophets were moved on by God. They were just sitting there, and the Spirit of God came and blew on them, moved on them, and they were carried along, borne along by the Holy Spirit as they wrote. So that what you have is not the will of men. It is the Word of God. Let's hold up our Bible. Can we just hold up our Bible? If you got a Bible with you, hold it up. I want you to say, this is the Word of God, breathed out by God. Well, you guys got a case of lockjaw today. Let's try that again. This is the Word of God, breathed out by the Spirit of God. Amen. Give the Lord a hand of praise, because that's what it is. And Jesus wanted us to be really clear that he didn't come to do away with the Old Testament prophets. Of their writings, Jesus said, "Do not think I came to destroy the law of the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For assuredly I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle will and by no means pass from the law what the prophets wrote till all is fulfilled." Now, as we move from the Old Testament to the New Testament, we see the gift of prophecy is alive and well. We read that Jesus himself, the greatest prophet that ever lived, prophesied of things near and things far away, and he did it with 100% accuracy. And folks, listen to me now, because this is where I really want to go. At least three of his apostles prophesied predictively in their epistles. John, Peter, and Paul prophesied predictively. They talked about the last days, what to look for. John gave us the book of Revelation, 22 chapters of pure prophecy. Now, once the church was established, that's us, Paul the Apostle wrote to the Corinthian church about a gift of prophecy that was operating among them. He lists nine gifts And one of them, it's like this. He says the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. To one is given prophecy. Prophecy. Now, in the New Testament, that word is found 28 times. And there are two kinds of prophecy. Now, this is what I want you to walk out with today. There's two kinds. Say with me, forthtelling. And then say foretelling. There's two kinds of prophecy, forthtelling and foretelling. Now, let me talk to you about forthtelling. Forthtelling is anointed, inspired preaching for the edification of the saints. Paul speaks of this kind of prophecy in 1 Corinthians 14:1. Desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. Now, is he talking about foretelling there? No, he's talking about forthtelling. What does forthtelling do? He says, he who prophesies, forthtells, speaks edification, exhortation, and comfort to men. Now, you know what I'm doing right now? I'm forthtelling. Let me put it another way. I'm prophesying right now. I'm bringing you an inspired message from the Word of God, and the Bible says one of the meanings of prophecy is that. Now, there may be a time in our service, during worship or after worship, that somebody has a prophecy, and they bring the prophecy extemporaneously, right there on the spot, they bring a word that the Spirit of God has moved on them about. That is forthtelling. It is intended to edify, exhort, and comfort the church. Amen. And I want to see more of that. I want to see more of that. Amen. Because this is the legitimate gift of prophecy. When you forthtell, it's the legitimate gift of prophecy. You're forthtelling. You're bringing a word that edifies, exhorts, and comforts the church. Paul said, when you come together, let one have a hymn, let one have a psalm, let one have a spiritual song, but everybody ought to come loaded to unload something God gave them. Did y'all hear what I just said? He said, let all of you, when you come to church, don't expect Pastor Jeff to be the only one with a word from God. Now, I'm the preacher, I'm the teacher, yes. But he said, when you come to church, maybe God's put something on your heart, a psalm, maybe a song, a spiritual song, or a hymn. Unload it. You are to unload it. You are to share it, to edify, exhort, and comfort the church of God. That's forthtelling. And then there's foretelling, and I'm almost done. Foretelling is to predict a future event in the name of the Lord. Now, this is a different bear. This is a whole different thing. When you exhort one another prophetically with a word from God out of the scriptures, you exhort, comfort, and edify someone else. That's foretelling and that's prophetic. But when you predict the future, that's distinctly different. And here is where the Old Testament prophets and the New Testament prophets majored. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, all of them, they predicted major future events. They predicted the rise and fall of nations. They predicted the rise and fall of kings. They predicted the judgment of God that was going to fall. They predicted major earth-shattering, nation-changing events. And they were specific. They were right down to the wire. They didn't hem and haw and say, well, maybe or this or that. There wasn't anything fuzzy about it. It was clear as a bell. They predicted major events, and those events came to pass just exactly like they said. Over 400 prophecies were given about the coming of Jesus, the life of Jesus, the death of Jesus, and the resurrection of Jesus, and over 400 of them came to pass with stunning accuracy. Where he would be born, how he would die, how much money would be given to the betrayer of Jesus. What he would do with that money, how he would throw it away, how he would regret it, how they would cast lots for his vestures, for his clothes, how he would look down at mockers who were mocking him on the tree, how he would be beaten beyond recognition, how nobody would receive him, how he would be a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. All kinds of prophecies, and they came to pass exactly like they said.
Thanks for tuning in today to Hardwired with Pastor Jeff Wickwire. With the busy schedule everyone has these days, it means the world to us that you would take this time to listen. Let us know how it has touched your heart by calling us at 877-884-3111. You can also connect with us at our website, hardwired.org. It's no secret that our country has had some extreme challenges over the last year or two. People have been going through depression, isolation, emotional pains, disillusionment, and more, and are looking for something to grab a hold of for security. Well, the answer is not in something, it's someone, Jesus Christ. And that's what this program is all about. So here's how you can help us get this message out. Being a listener-supported program means we rely on the financial partnership of our listeners, which means you. And we believe that these messages with Pastor Jeff are making a difference in your life. So this is how you can make a difference to ours. You can contribute by giving us a call at 877-884-3111 or at our website, hardwired.org. 877-884-3111 or go to hardwired.org. Thank you for your very generous gifts. God bless, and thanks for listening to Hardwired.